Then I turned to the sports page, and the Mets had blown it in the 13th inning. Papers can't make losing look like winning. I think the Phillies took it 5-4. There it was on the sports page. Only page that takes a firm position. Kind of like an honest politician. The kind you hardly find anymore. In fact, let's face it, the sports page is the only place to go when a fella wants to know the score.
It's time for another edition of the sports page here on KAXE KBXE. I'm John Bauer. Behind the plexiglass is Heidi Holton, and in these two little squares, one is Kyle Erickson. Morning, Kyle. And Fred Friedman, you must have a job interview today because you are looking. Hang on a second. You are looking good.
Good. Thanks, John. Yeah, I teach at UNC in a few minutes as soon as we get done. It's all Zoom. But I do have we're down here. I do have an important trivia question to ask you all, and here it is. What KAXE.
Still doing it.
What KAXE radio personality is marooned in Durham, North Carolina with no gas?
Fred.
Oh, no.
Fred Friedman.
And Mrs. Friedman.
Oh, my God.
Is it really just, I heard that 77% of the gas stations don't have gas?
Yeah, but in the triangle, that's Raleigh, Durham, Chapel Hill, where Carolina and Duke are, I'd say it's about 101%. So we're supposed to go home this afternoon, drive home.
But you can't.
No, how am I going to drive over the mountains and risk gas, you know?
Oh, geez. Well, okay. I hate to start with this. It's just pathetic. The Twins, it's an embarrassment. And I really go to bed each night. Well, I'm always excited at the beginning. And then everything plays out the way it has been playing out all year. And personally, it's just embarrassing on paper. We have a fantastic team, but we have little injuries and things like that. But still, every team has injuries, and we get crushed every game. What the hell's going on, Fred?
I can't figure it out. We were skeptical about the pitching, especially the bullpen. Yeah. But some of the starters have been brutal compared to last year.
Oh.
I can't figure out the offense. This is a team that holds the all-time record for home runs in a season 2 years ago. And now we got Kepler, Garver, Polanco, and Sano completely in the tank. And when they talk about the ball not being quite as juiced, here's my response. That has nothing to do with the high whiff rate, the high swing and miss rate. I'm sure the hitting coaches are going to get fired. Who knows who else gets fired? But this is brutal. Pretty much ruined my summer. That's my state.
Kyle, now the bullpen's open, Kyle. You can march out or come out in a car. What do you want to do?
Well, last night was an interesting case in point. We've talked about this before. The Twins trot out guys from their bullpen that throw 92, 93 miles an hour. The White Sox trot out guys from their bullpen that throw 98 to 100 miles an hour. And that 7-8 mile an hour difference it's the difference between winning and losing. You have no margin for error in the major leagues when you're throwing 92 miles an hour. And on top of that, you know, the hitters have been swinging and missing, and the pitchers have been missing the strike zone. And part of what had made the Twins bullpen really, really effective for a couple of years was that they weren't walking people. Guys like Tyler Duffy, who pitched last night, had resurrected their careers by throwing a little harder and by throwing strikes. And Alex Colomy and Tyler Duffy are probably the two worst culprits. They have walked a ton of people and they've hit batters. And late in close games, you just can't do that. Man. And so I imagine the pitching coach is going to be probably showing the door first, just because the bullpen has been historically bad. I think that manager Rocco Baldelli bears a fair share of the blame for that, because he has a penchant for pulling starters early in the game, even when they're pitching very well. And the starting pitching has not been that bad this year. But Baldelli'll pull a pitcher after five and a third innings, 85 pitches. They're not struggling. They're not laboring.
Yeah.
And over time, that puts a toll on the bullpen. Arms get tired. Pitchers aren't as sharp. And when your bullpen ain't that good to begin with, that is a recipe for disaster.
But too much is being put on the pitchers. You're right. You know, when you got Kepler, everybody below the Mendoza line, that's just embarrassing. It's got to be. And Miguel Sano, might as well just cut him. I'm serious. Just cut him. He's never going to get better. I hate to be negative, but he's at every chance in the world. Just cut him or send him down.
The TV commentators made a really interesting observation in last night's game, and they pointed out that several of the best teams, win and loss wise, in Major League Baseball this year are teams that have the worst team batting averages. Oakland, Cleveland, and a number of Milwaukee all have team batting averages below 220.
But they put the ball in play.
Well, they put the ball in play some, but they have pitching.
Yeah.
And pitching in baseball is like line play in football. You can have flashy, fun stuff without it, and you'll look good for a while, but you're not going to win. You're not going to win without a good offensive line in the NFL. You're not going to win without a good bullpen in Major League Baseball.
Fred?
And so the Sano experiment is probably pretty close to an end. I think you're right about that. It was really hard to see him lose Buxton again. He's got a hip injury. He's out at least a couple of months. Probably a couple of months.
Oh, my gosh.
And he had not just turned a corner, but he was the best player in baseball for the first month of the year. Kirilloff gets injured, and what can you say? The odds makers, the sharps in Vegas didn't see this coming. We didn't see it coming. I hope they right the ship or it's going to be a long summer.
Fred?
It's going to be a long summer. I got to assign some responsibility to their failure to draft hard throwers draft after draft after draft after draft. Mm-hmm. They draft corner outfielders and they draft athletic shortstops. And they need hard throwers that miss bats. That's my attitude.
Well, and it was especially hard to watch the guy who closed the game out for Chicago last night. Former Twin Liam Hendricks, who is now one of the very best closers in baseball, trotting out to the bump, throwing 100 miles an hour with a wipeout slider.
Yeah, that's
Hendricks and Presley, guys.
Yeah,
Chicago and Oakland. Hendricks and Presley.
So a non-pitching thing is that you would think that maybe, you know, you let a Sano go and he goes to somewhere where he's comfortable and there's a good hitting coach and he'll just go crazy. But I don't care. It's time to. You know, we had David Ortiz for, 2 years, 3 years, something like that?
Yeah, well, Sano, that was a stroke bet. But I know you, John, well enough to know this. If you were 0-7 in overtime in basketball games, you would not sleep at night.
No.
And Rocco's 0-7.
Yeah, and that's on the coach. Good coaches win usually, you know, usually have a good idea of win close games, and they don't even score. For God's sakes.
Anyway. And the home team wins 61% of extra inning games.
Yeah. And you know? And the guy on second base, I think, is a joke. I'm sorry. I didn't know. No. I thought maybe it was a great experience, but it's a joke. It's slow pitch softball.
It's a joke.
Why on earth would they consider? Is it only, are they doing that just to speed up the game? Is that totally?
Protect pitchers. Don't you think, Kyle, it's protecting pitchers, Arps?
It's a length of the game in protecting pitchers. But on the first count, it's kind of irrelevant because something like 88% of all games get resolved in the 12th inning or before.
Yeah.
There's just a small percentage that go beyond that. So, you know, why don't they just play normal rules through 12 or 13 innings?
The experiment was a mistake. You said it right, John. It was a mistake.
And here's another mistake. And I don't know if it's an ego thing, but when you watch when they pan the camera back and they put these shifts on, sometimes there's nobody on the other side. Why don't they just bunt? Is that an ego thing?
Well, it was kind of interesting to see Josh Donaldson last night take advantage of that.
Yep.
He had two hard hit ground balls and a line drive where he didn't try to pull the ball. He looked at the shift and he just – hit the ball hard on the ground to right field, and lo and behold, he got on base three times.
All right. And if,
you know, the Max Keplers of the world, I don't think are crafty enough. All they do is try to pull the ball, yep, no matter where it's pitched, and that's why you bat 190. But they've got enough players who could beat the shift if they decided they wanted to.
Well, there's, I don't know what else. The Lynx open up this season, their season this weekend, Heidi, right?
Yep, they play Friday against the Phoenix Mercury.
Okay.
What's your forecast, Heidi? What do you see? What are you optimistic, pessimistic? What do you think?
I'm optimistic. It's a lot of young players. I mean, it may take a little while to kind of get going, but I think it's going to be really, because they're moving away from all, you know, we've only got Sylvia left, right? But I love the coaching staff, having Rebecca Brunson and Planette. Planette, what's her last name?
I know who you mean.
Former Lynx that are coaching. I think it's going to be a great game. I can't wait to watch Crystal Dangerfield again. And, of course, Nafisha Collier and all the new recruits. I haven't looked up on too many of them yet, so I'm excited about it. They won in their exhibition game last Saturday.
One exhibition game.
Yep.
And they don't have two key players because they're still playing, like in Yugoslavia or Russia or something like that. That doesn't happen in men's basketball.
No.
And now I saw that there's a great, I told Heidi about this. ESPN's doing a 30 for 30, or it's called 144 or something. It's a documentary of the women's basketball in a bubble, and it looks really, really good. Really good. And it looks like the bubble was horrific.
You know, I'll catch it. I'll watch it. I heard you guys talking about it before we went on here. I'll definitely watch that.
We lost Jerry Burnsy, and the Timberwolves, somebody, maybe we need legal advice here, Fred. What is going on with this win and loss thing? Like, this next game the Timberwolves play, I don't know if it's tonight or whatever, could be critical, Kyle, or is it beyond that now?
So to properly tank, they need to have one of the five worst records in the NBA.
Oh, five, not three, five.
The bottom three teams all get the same number of ping pong balls in the draft lottery. The fourth and fifth worst records get marginally less, and that's the NBA's anti-tanking strategy. So just having the flat-out worst record doesn't guarantee you the number one pick. The Wolves are 6-4 in their last 10 games. They're playing great basketball, a lot of fun to watch. But their record has bumped up to now, I think they're in a three-way tie for the fifth worst record in the league.
Oh, really?
And so there's this tension between trying to build a winning culture after years and years of losing and at least having a shot at that top three protected draft pick, when two of the top three picks in this year's draft are very likely to be point guards, which is the Timberwolves' biggest position of need. And so I'm actually bullish enough on the Timberwolves that I won't hate it if they miss. I would love to see them get that pick because they need a franchise point guard so badly. But they're playing really good basketball the last month, and not just beating up on the other bottom dwellers. They beat some playoff teams.
So, Fred, if you watch the game, I don't know if it's tonight or whatever, and you saw them start in the second string, would you be upset?
Probably not, but I don't like any incentive to encourage you to tank. I looked up the history of this going back to the middle 50s. And Red Auerbach, legendary coach of the Celtics, won more than anybody in the pro game. He says it's only a factor in the years where one or two players coming out are light years ahead of everybody else. Like the Chamberlain year, like the Russell year.
Shaquille.
Like the Robertson and West year. Like, you get what I'm saying.
Yeah. So,
you know. But that's the situation. If everybody agrees, if all the scouts agree that one or two players are better than everybody else, but scouts make the mistakes. Hey, somebody named Sam Bowie from Kentucky got drafted ahead of Michael Jordan, right?
Yeah, forget about
that. But it's interesting, too, that the player that started the modern tanking era was Patrick Ewing, who was just a transcendent player at Georgetown, and like a quarter of the league was in a tank fest to try to get him. The Knicks, of course, had the worst record, drafted Patrick Ewing, and he never won an NBA title.
Oh, no. Boy.
So there are no guarantees.
And he didn't leave school early. Let's point that out. You know what I mean? Yeah. You know, he stayed there. So,
okay, Heidi, you got some trivia for us?
I sure do.
What is the angle today?
You ready?
Scott, can't be fishing.
No.
Okay.
3,000 hits. That's your theme for today. Okay. On this date in 1958, Stan Musial got his 3,000th career hit off the Cubs' Mo Drabowski. Musial was the 8th player to get 3,000 hits. Who were the 9th and 10th players to do it 12 years later in 1970?
Wow. Willie Mays?
Yep.
Carl Yastrzemski?
No, not quite. For sure, because he ended his 68th season with 3,000 hits instead. Roberto Clemente.
Nope.
Whoa.
Yeah, he had 3,000 hits. The senior correspondence is wrong. He has exactly 3,000 hits. He died in 72 on New Year's Eve.
Wow. He said they were both, your hint was they're both National Leaguers and they were both outfielders. So you got Willie Mays.
Or Henry Aaron?
Yeah. Yeah.
Okay.
So is that an improper question? Is that a fat out?
No, it must have been Aaron before Clemente. It must be that.
Okay.
Okay. Who is the most recent player to get his 3,000th? That's hard. Hit. Yeah. He did it 3 years ago this month and was in the news this week.
Oh, boy. Pujols?
Yep.
Pujols. Oh, okay.
So was unceremoniously cut by the Angels.
That was embarrassing.
Yeah, you got to do something better than that.
Pujols is the second player from the Dominican Republic to get 3,000 hits. Who was the first? He did it a year before Pujols in 2017.
Oh.
Is that Beltre?
Beltre, yep. The third baseman got his hit as a member of the Texas Rangers. What player's 3,000th hit was his last one?
Clemente.
Yep.
That was his last one?
There was
last one. He ended the season in... In 71,
he died.
71.
Died in a plane crash 3 months later.
Plane crash, yeah.
Wow. It was his last regular season hit. Clemente got 12 hits and battled in the 1971 series, 9 hits, and in the 1960 World Series as well.
Clemente never played in a World Series game. He did not hit safely, guys.
And he reminds me of what I think is the greatest play in baseball is when a outfielder throws somebody out at third base.
I agree. That's him.
It's insane.
Best arm in person I ever saw by far.
Yeah.
Who's the only Cuban-born player to achieve 3,000 hits?
I'm surprised, Kyle. Are you in mute, Kyle? No.
Any hints? Any hints, sir?
Yep. A few days after he got his 3,000 hit, he was suspended for 10 days for testing positive for an
Rafael Palmeiro.
Yeah. Yep.
Yep.
Who testified to Congress under oath and perjured himself.
Yep.
And pointed his finger at them while he was lying to Congress.
Kyle, there is a never Hall of Famer. You know, that's...
Yep. Yep. Over. It's over.
Yep.
In addition to Clemente, Palmeiro, Beltre, and Pujols, who are the two other players born outside the United States to get 3,000 hits?
Ichiro Suzuki.
Yep.
Miguel Cabrera isn't to 3,000.
Not yet. No, he's close.
Think Minnesota.
Rodney Carew.
Yeah, from Panama.
Panama, yeah. There you go.
What member of the 3,000 hit club whose parents were immigrants from the Dominican Republic was born in New York City? His family moved back to the Dominican when he was 4 years old, and he later moved to Miami, Florida.
Rodriguez.
Yeah, yep. Rodriguez. Yeah.
His hint on that was he's a current star of the tabloids. Albert Pujols, Adrian Beltre, and Alex Rodriguez are not yet eligible for the Baseball Hall of Fame. Who are the two eligible players with 3,000 career hits not in the Baseball Hall of Fame?
Ichiro, right? Ichiro Suzuki?
No.
She's shaking her head.
Adrian Beltre?
Nope.
No. Oh, Palmeiro?
Yep, Palmeiro.
Because he's a cheater?
Yes.
Yeah. Don't you forget it.
And another kind of cheater.
Barry Bonds, does he have 3,000 hits? No. Give us initials.
PR.
PR.
Pee Wee Reese.
Come on.
Pudge Rodriguez?
Pete Rose.
Pete Rose.
Oh, Pete Rose. How do we miss that one?
Gosh, almighty.
You're getting old.
The 146th running of the Preakness horse race is this Saturday. What is the name of the race, venue, and the city where it is run?
I know this. Bowie, Maryland, Pimlico.
Yeah.
And that we yet are to know the ointment they use for muscle, assisting in muscle relaxation or something on the past winter. Is this banned steroids? So have they made a ruling on that? Bob Baffert's name could be just inducted into the Hall of Fame, and I think they have 21 cases with his horses.
Yeah, can you take steroids and be on KAXE? Do you guys have a local rule on
that? Oh. No, we have no rules on that. Okay. I'm on steroids right now, Fred.
But that She is.
Fred, you're on a path to the Radio Hall of Fame here. Don't screw it up.
Yeah, and then she starts getting in a rage and out of control when she's off the air, so it's got to calm down.
But it's the roids.
Yeah. The horse,
I got you, Heidi. I have your back. Do not worry.
The horse racing thing is a very, very serious thing. It's a joke because so many horses are killed for money. Is basically what's going on. And bad using drugs. There's one more.
Horse question. The Kentucky Derby is known as the Run for the Roses. What's the nickname for the Preakness?
Don't know.
The Black Eyed Susans, the state flower of Maryland.
Oh my gosh. Jim Neighbors, where are you?
Did not know that.
Oh, Jim Neighbors.
He doesn't need to
what
do the Indianapolis
95, John Bauer? Jeeps. Okay, that's it, you guys.
You guys are looking good.
Hey, Fred, we'll see you, in 2-3 months when there's gas again?
Yeah.
Well, I might have to call you guys from the road. I don't know, you know.
Well, you can siphon. Just get a rubber hose. I can see you back at some Perkins parking lot siphoning gas.
Don't get a rubber hose. You're fine. Just take your time. Enjoy your grandchild.
Thank you, dear. I will. I'm going to take care of Constance.
See you later.